I say, fine, how do you live your life now? Oh, I sleep around, I get drunk, I don't go to church, I don't pray. But once saved, always saved, right, Cliff? And I say, I'm sorry, the evidence of the way you live your life today suggests you don't believe in Christ. Then the other end of the spectrum, a very sensitive person comes up and says, Cliff, I put my faith in Christ and I blew it last night. Never thought I'd do that. I did. Did I lose my salvation? No, you don't lose your salvation. You hurt your...
So, but yes, you can lose your salvation. But anyway, let's look at what that means. You've got one guy who's sinning and he knows it, and he don't give a rip. He's just doing it, wants to do it. He's all good. You got another guy who sins, but man, it hurts him. It just bugs him so much. Are we supposed to treat that sin differently? Are we supposed to say, well, the person who gets to the sinning by not caring is worthy of losing salvation, and this person who just happens to sin, though that's not as severe? Christ died for both of these. Hello. Hey, welcome back to Bible Line. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today we have another Pastor Reacts video. I know it's been a while, but finally got some good ones, short ones to react to here. If you're new to the channel, please make sure that you like, comment, and share this video. Make sure that you subscribe. Hit that notification bell. Set it to all. As we have just announced, we have started our new live show on Sundays. Make sure you're sticking around Sundays, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can call us, ask your questions. We're looking forward to that program and to continue to do it. Just a little bit of a disclaimer. Some of you have asked. Some of you have been very studious in your observation. And notice that we don't do a lot of Pastor Reacts anymore, and some people have asked why. Well, there's a reason for that. The first reason is I seem to be getting a lot of the same content, and that's to be expected. Most of what we do here on Bible Line is a defense for once you're saved, you're always saved. We believe in eternal security. We believe in faith alone, in Christ alone. That's how a person is saved. The two videos we're going to be reacting to today, this one and one we're going to record later, are all about attacking once saved, always saved. And so I get a lot of the same stuff, and some people send me the same clips, and sometimes I get videos from you guys, which I greatly appreciate, but they border on an hour, 2 hours long, and it's hard for me to comb through that content. So we focused on doing Q&A, and our channel is still thriving even off of that content, which I think is important. But the second thing is I want to be real careful when I do these videos, because it is not my goal to mock or ridicule or to say that teachers are stupid or that we need to be against these people as men. There's a strong likelihood to some of these guys being born again children of God, but they're carried away by false doctrine. The point of these react videos is not to say, look how stupid this person is, look how wrong they are. The point is to really remove the man who's speaking. Unless, of course, they're like hateful, vitriolic, and just very, you know, their character is in question. It's to remove that man from the message and look at the message. And the video we're going to react to today is a perfect example of somebody that I've heard his stuff before. I know about him. This is Cliff, the apologetics guy, who is, he's the give me an answer man. And he has a great channel, almost a million subscribers. I think he's at 800,000 subs at the time of this recording. He's been on a bunch of podcasts. He's written books. He's spoken to great sizes of people and audiences and all sorts of stuff. But what you're going to see here is what I kind of warn you about all the time. You don't really know these people. You don't know what they really believe until you catch them just being honest. And in all the content I've looked at from Cliff, I've seen a lot of apologetic defense, good logic. He doesn't present a lot of, I mean, he presents evidence, but he helps you think through things logically to a logical conclusion, which I think is good, but not a lot about salvation. And the things he does say about salvation, it's what I would call cookie cutter. It's pretty much, I can put this in the Lordship, I can put this in the Calvinistic, I can put this in the free grace, I can put this into Arminian, whatever. And it's pretty rare to get what we're going to look at today. It's a little Facebook clip put up by, I think, his son, Stuart. And in it, you see pretty clearly, I mean, the title of the video you can see here is Can we lose our salvation? Now, he's going to give an answer, and the answer is going to tell you what he believes about salvation being lost. Now, I'm just going to say this from the outset. I do not believe you can lose your salvation because Acts 13, verses 38 through 39 says, we're justified from all things. Well, there's forgiveness of sins of which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. So we're either justified of all things, which would include apostasy and any other sin that we could commit, or we're not. And there's some type of line that we can cross that would help us understand how we could lose our salvation. But the gift of God is eternal life, very specifically, a life that lasts forever. But when Cliff is asked this question, his answer is put into two categories, and they're all based off of one thing, evidence. What evidence do you show? So let's get into the clip.
Next person. Yes, sir.
Can we lose our salvation?
Can we lose our salvation? For me, it's a totally theoretical question that is unanswerable.
All right, let's again separate from the craziness of that statement that was just made and just look at it face value. It's not a theoretical question. It is not without an answer. That's just not true. Now, I'm not going to pretend like I know why he said that, but it's likely that in his theological camp, these are tough issues. Most of the people that I've experienced that are asked this question and give that kind of answer, like it's unknowable, don't know the scriptures as well on that topic as they should. Let me just be transparent with you. And if you stick around for our live show on Sundays, you're going to see this. I don't know the answer to everything. But instead of saying that it's kind of unknowable, I say that I don't know it, and I ask for the person to give me a chance to research it out and stick with what I do know. It is not a theoretical question, can you lose your salvation? It's just not. Jesus addressed it in John 10. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Romans 8, 38 and 39, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Earlier in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 31, where he says, who can bring anything against God's elect? Who condemns those that are saved? No one, because it's God that justified. It's Christ that's risen again. So it's not a theoretical question. You know why this topic is not addressed a lot in the New Testament by any of the New Testament writers? Because there was no assumption that you could lose your salvation. They were not addressing it as much as people are addressing it today because they taught eternal security. And that's actually the weight that they threw against these sinning Christians. You're living contrary to who you are in Christ. Stop that. Start doing right. So right off the bat, I know exactly, well, I have an idea of where this is going to go. When our viewer sent this to us, I thought he's going to go into an evidence-based theory. And that's exactly what he does. Let's listen.
Why? Somebody comes up to me and says, Cliff, when I was a little kid, I went to church, I got baptized, and once saved, always saved, right?
No, that is a question. Now, look, you can see his position here. He's leaning up against a railing. He's very comfortable. I don't even know if he knows someone's filming him. But he answers, what he says there is interesting. He says, I went to church, I got baptized, once saved, always saved, right? To the hearer, what does that communicate? That going to church and getting water baptized is how you're saved. I don't think he means that, because I've heard him say faith alone in Christ alone in other places. But here's an opportunity to be clear, and it's unclear. There is nothing in the Bible that indicates water baptism is how you are born again, nor is there anything in the Bible that indicates going to church is how you're saved. As a matter of fact, church in the book of Acts was pretty much all day, every day. They were selling property. They were pooling resources to fellowship more with each other. That's not church today. Church is twice a week, maybe three times a week for some people. That's what church is. And you use these words that you're thinking, you're probably somebody who is maybe looking for the truth is trying to get an answer, and just that's not clear. I don't think that's what Cliff believes, because I've heard his other teachings. But I just think it's interesting that an on-the-spot question, we put church attendance and water baptism in the same boat as once saved, always saved. How is a man born again? By faith in Jesus Christ alone, a part of any good works. Once you believe, you receive the power to become the sons of God. John 1:12. So let's let him continue.
I say, fine, how do you live your life now? Oh, I sleep around, I get drunk, I don't go to church, I don't pray, but once saved, always saved, right, Cliff?
So he gets into performance mode here, and he's going around, and I think what's happening is he's understood, all right, this is how I'm going to answer this question, I'm going to get up and be confident now. This is a part of how these individuals act. And again, this is not an assessment of his character, but he's going to walk around and gesticulate with his body, confidence that he knows what he's talking about. He's sticking on once saved, always saved. Notice, the question was, can we lose our salvation? The attack immediately went on the doctrine of once saved, always saved.
But once saved, always saved, right, Cliff?
And he gives this idea of like, oh, I just do whatever I want, but once saved, always saved, right? First of all, I don't think there's a lot of people that exist like that. Can I be very honest with you? I don't really know anybody in my circle of influence, in my church, who has that attitude. Well, live it up, because Christ died and rose again, amen? Nobody that has come to my church or is in my church now or in my circle of influence believes that. Yet why is it always the straw man that is built up, beautifully built up by these people? Because they got to show you these diametrically opposed positions. That's not what once saved, always saved teaches. You do not have a license to sin. Just because you're justified from all things doesn't mean you have the right to do all things without consequence. But one of those consequences can never be a loss of what God has done. Let's let him continue. So he paints the guy that's like, whatever, man. Once saved, always saved. Drinking it up, sleeping it up. I think it's good, right, Cliff? Well, let's see what he says.
And I said, I'm sorry. The evidence of the way you live your life today suggests you don't believe in Christ.
All right. So we kind of get this automated response. At least that's how I viewed it when I heard it. It's like, I'm sorry. The evidence of how you live your life does not point that you believe to Christ. So this is a question, and I'm posing this to you. When you hear stuff like that, what does it define as far as salvation? That believing is a continual thing. That when you get saved, you're really saved as long as you believe. And that's just not the grammar that the scripture uses. Let's take a look, right? I'll go to 1 John chapter 5 in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, right now, eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. You've got it right now, present tense. You have eternal life. You'd say, well, is that talking about something that can be lost? No, I don't think so at all, because later in the earlier in the book of John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, he says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Notice the promises in the past tense. You've already been promised eternal life. So even though the evidence in your life shows that you're not obedient to Christ, you do not know the Bible, or you know it and you don't care to do it, that doesn't mean you never believed. There's no evidence for that. None at all. As a matter of fact, the only evidence you're presenting is you are disobedient. You are subject to God's chastening hand. That's the only evidence it communicates to me. I don't look at somebody who's living a life of sin and think, oh, they're probably lost. Or excuse me, they were probably never really saved. I go, wow, they don't really care what God says about the Christian life. Especially if it's a brother or sister in Christ that I know has trusted Christ. They've communicated that to me. I go, man, they're cruising for a bruising. And some people hear me say that, and that throws people in a tizzy. But more on that, maybe never. But we'll see. All right, let's let him continue. So he looks at that guy who's like, yeah, man, live it up. Once saved, always saved. Right, Cliff? Cliff says, no, you're not really saved because the evidences don't show it. That's against the Bible. Bible doesn't have anything to prove that. Then he puts the guy on the other hand. And you're going to see here, you're going to see a classic respecter of persons. Right? Here's the other case.
Then the other end of the spectrum, a very sensitive person comes up and says, Cliff, I put my faith in Christ and I blew it last night. Never thought I'd do that. I did. Did I lose my salvation? No, you don't lose your salvation. You're hurt.
But yes, you can lose your salvation. But anyway, let's look at what that means. You've got one guy who's sinning and he knows it, and he don't give a rip. He's just doing it, wants to do it. He's all good. You got another guy who sins, but man, it hurts him. Bugs him so much. Are we supposed to treat that sin differently? Are we supposed to say, well, the person who gets to the sinning by not caring is worthy of losing salvation, and this person who just happens to sin, though that's not as severe. Christ died for both of these. Hello. For the willful sin and the accidental sin, if you even want to categorize them in that way. For the repentant sinner, the one who's like, I blew it. Well, yeah, you blew it and you sinned. It's the same as the guy who went out there and blew it and he knew he blew it. He was planning on doing that. It's the same. But in the eyes of Cliff here, he's teaching respecters of persons that, well, if you're really sorry about it, that God kind of goes like to your sin. But if you're not really sorry about it, he's like, no, I'm actually going to reverse what I did in your justification. I'm pulling you out. The Bible does not teach that kind of justification. This is why in Hebrews 10 it says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Why would you want to live that way, believer, in willful sin like that, just not caring, trampling under the blood of Christ, underfoot the blood of Christ? Why would you want to do that? That's a fearful thing. It's also a fearful thing for anybody who falls into sin, because sin brings consequences. You go out and do things that are harmful, you're going to have harmful effects. But Cliff is saying here, no, you didn't lose your salvation. And what's the basis? Because you've shown me pity, or you've shown me that you're sorry, that it really bothers you. Corporate America does not work this way. Imagine you're in a Fortune 500 company and you make a mistake and it costs the company millions of dollars, and you walk into your boss's office and you say, ah, shucks, boss. You know, I really blew it. I didn't mean to. I know it cost the company millions of dollars, but I didn't mean to. That boss still has every right to fire you, and should. He's going to fire you, and all the money he would pay you in health insurance and salary and all that, he's going to recoup for the losses that were your fault. Doesn't matter if you were sincere or not. Sin cannot separate you outside of the family of God once you've been placed in. You're found in Christ. And that's not what this video communicates. What this video communicates is, if you're sorry, if you sin and you're sorry about it, you're probably still saved. That's a works-based gospel. And that ain't a theoretical question, nor is it unanswerable.
Hurt your relationship with Christ. You ask him for forgiveness and you get back to getting on track with it.
Now, that answer, if he gave a positive answer for once saved, always saved, that's the correct answer. No, to the person who willfully sins and the person who's struggling with it and still ends up doing it, which the results are the same. But for one, there's no remorse. You're hurting your walk with Christ. You're not going to be able to grow. Your progressive sanctification is hindered. Then the other person over here, same thing. But for this person, you need to confess your sins, not to be saved, but to get back into a good fellowship with the Lord, the right rhythm. And then you continue on. That should be the answer. Can you lose your salvation? No. Can you damage your walk with Christ? Yes. So the question would be, why would you want to do that?
Does that make sense?
Thank you.
Does it make sense?
You bet.
I don't want to bet. So that's the end of that one. If you have any questions about things like that or would like to discuss in the comments, we would encourage you to do so. But be careful for these folks, okay? Because you just don't know. You just don't know. I'm not going to call him an internet theologian because he has an established ministry, but we don't know these people. And folks, you don't know me unless you're here in my ministry. And of course, I've reached out to you. You got to verify what I'm saying with the Word of God as well. I'm not above reproach. But I know what the Word of God says, and so I'm confidently and comfortably bringing them to you today. Make sure you send us any emails for questions that you may have. questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Thank you. God bless you, and I'll talk to you soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.